We're going to go to Acts 16. I'm going to talk to you about something that has been on my mind for a while, and I just think it's very important that we visit it, especially for those of you that are here on a Sunday night. This is not something that I'd ever take to a Sunday morning crowd, and I don't mean that offensively by any means, but I believe that typically those that show up on Sunday nights are the ones that show up most of the time for everything. Which in a lot of areas puts you in a very vulnerable state. And here's why. No doubt if you're sitting here tonight, in some shape, form, or fashion, you're ministering to somebody in your life. No doubt you have accepted some type of a calling. I'm not saying that you're in some full-time Christian work, but you realize the importance of your faith, and you're growing your faith, developing your faith. And it's almost impossible to be developing your faith and not be reaching out to help other people. All right? So, I'm making a lot of assumptions about you, but maybe this is the first time in your life somebody's assumed something good about you. All right? So, I'm assuming some good things. That by being here tonight, you have a heart for Jesus Christ, and through that, you have a heart for other people. Which brings me to this idea of sometimes we can be our own worst enemies in that too. A lot of times we can get so caught up in that ministry, so caught up in that study. Do you realize that Proverbs says that too much knowledge, too much study can actually wear you out? It can actually make you tired. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever had a review at work you were studying for or a test at school you were studying for? By the time it came time for the test, you were just exhausted and wiped. Anybody done that? Anybody ever had that moment, maybe back in high school, college, wherever it was, that you studied and you knew the material, but as soon as they hand you the test, your mind went blank? You know what I mean? Because you were information overload. Can I say this? That a lot of times in ministry, we take in and we immediately put out, but we don't let soak in what God's doing. I've seen it where people read for other people. I've even told you there's sometimes I read my Bible for you. Not because I want to, but because I know that I've got to get up here and I've got to preach something to you, so I better have something good to give. That's great and bad all at the same time. In all honesty, I should never go to my Bible for someone else. I should go to my Bible for my relationship with God and letting God work in me and through me, all right, and feeding me. By doing that, as I absorb that into my life, it produces a fruit, all right? If I don't let that absorb, it just produces a seed, all right? Now, what I mean by that is I can give you the ability to plant the seeds in your life, or I can give you a fruit that you can take a bite of, see that it's good, and then take the seeds from that fruit and plant yourself. It's a whole lot better when you take a bite yourself and realize how good God is. It's a whole lot easier and you're more concrete and you're more stable in what you believe when you have experienced it on your own. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right. If somebody else tells you about God can do miracles, it's not near as powerful as when you're the one telling the story of a miracle God's done for you. All right. When somebody else is telling you about how God has spoke to them, it's not near as powerful as when you're the one telling about how God spoke to you. And here's the problem. A lot of times we take what God's given us and we immediately share. And in return, we haven't gotten the growth that we need and they're not getting the fruit that they need. And as a result, we're empty. We're left in that broken state. That's where we're going to look at Paul and Silas tonight. And in Acts chapter number 16, we see that story that many of you may be familiar with, where they are thrown into jail for their preaching, their faith. And they're in jail at a late hour, at a midnight hour, and something happens. All right, so let's look at this, okay? I'm not going to go read the whole thing. I'm going to jump down to verse number 22. Like I said, I didn't write out all my scriptures tonight, because in all honesty, within the last 5 minutes, I had three different sermons we were going to preach. That's why I left the stage, went back to my office, because I had told them, we're going to go out there and we're going to share, because I feel like at some point, God is going to want me to share with you the Unity Conference that we did up there. I thought tonight was going to be that night. Walked out of here at 6:02, ready to go. And I went back in there and I told Samuel, I got to get my Bible because God said no. All right. And so that's why there's three books up here and we're using the third. Why is that? Because I believe at some point we've got to get serious about the truths that we find in this passage. And somebody really made this aware of my life here recently. So let's look at this. It says in verse 22, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Verse 23, they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they did not escape. Back in that day, by the way, if you were the guard and your prisoner escaped, you had to pay the punishment. So if I was the one put in charge of your prison cell and you had a life sentence that you were never to be let out and you escaped, then I had to take your place as the guard. All right, so that's a serious thing. Study history. It's incredible. If somebody was sentenced to death and escaped, you were killed the way that they were supposed to be killed. So I want you to understand the gravity of his job, and you'll see why in just a second. All right, and it says in verse 24, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. In other words, he made sure that they weren't going to get out. And around, the Bible says, verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. All right, now, we'll get to the next verse in a second. We have a truth that we need to grasp. The more you minister, the harder it's going to become to minister. All right? The more you serve God, the harder it's going to be to serve God. I've heard many people say, it gets easier every day. That's not true. If you're growing, it gets harder every day. Let's put that into perspective. When you were dealing with your five-year-old problems when you were five, were they near as severe as your 30-year-old, 35-year-old problems? How many of you say, I would go back in a second, not to relive it, but if someone said, I'm going to give you the bills that you had in high school, if you would give up the bills you had today, how many of you would say, definitely, I would do that in a heartbeat? I mean, things came easy, did they not? Now, I'm not saying high school's easy. It's anything but. But I am saying this, the responsibilities were a whole lot less. You say, well, all I got is rules. Well, can I just give you a little secret? You never outgrow rules. Matter of fact, the older you get, the more rules you get. The more limitations you have. Any other adults want to agree with me on that? All right. Your mom and dad, well, I can't wait to get out from under their rules. Great. I understand what you're saying. But then you get the dreaded thing, four-letter word called a boss. All right. And I'm going to guarantee you they're going to have more rules than your parents had. All right. And the truth is you're going to have to give them more time than you probably gave your parents too. All right. You say, well, when I get older, it's going to get easier. Well, somebody in here tell me that that's been true for you. All right. It's not. Now, do things develop? Do we become stronger in certain areas? Yes. Do we grow to love people better? Yes. But is it easy to do that? Not at all. So the more you serve, the harder it's going to be to serve. It's not going to get easier to serve Jesus. It's just easier when you realize you can rely on Jesus and that he's with you. The more knowledge you get, the easier it becomes to have the courage to do. But the action is never going to be easy. All right, are you with me? You say, well, great, way to motivate me. Now I want to serve him. No, here's what I'm saying. Understand what that verse just gave us and how powerful it is. Here they are. They're in stocks. It's midnight in a dungeon. It's dark. Here's people that have dedicated their lives to preaching the gospel, that are totally isolated, beaten, and stuck in a very dingy, nasty place. Now, I don't know about you, but I will say this. The more you serve God, the more those that aren't willing to serve God are going to persecute you. The more that aren't willing to get right, they're going to hate you for it. And when I say this, I mean this way. I'm not even talking about the world here. I'm talking about those that claim to be believers. The closer you get to God, the more exposes those that aren't willing to get close, and the more nasty they will become towards you. All right? And so what happens is sometimes you find yourself in a dark, lonely place. And sometimes you find yourself in circumstances that you don't understand. And sometimes it's heavy what you're carrying. It's uncomfortable what you're doing. But your response should be the same in darkness as it is in the light. It should be the same in those moments as it is in the moments that you're on a platform praising, worshiping, or the moments that you're with your family and things are great. It says, in that midnight hour, they sang and they praised. They let it be heard that their faith was not taken from them. Their freedom was, but their faith was never taken. Their abilities were hindered, but they could not stop their faith. May that be said of us, and may that be the truth of us, that we will not be stopped even if people physically try to stop us, even if people emotionally try to stop us. May they be able to harm our bodies, but never be able to steal our joy and our faith. But here's the truth. Paul was not by himself in this time of his life. Silas was not by himself in this time of life. You don't see this story talking about Paul in a dungeon. You see a story about Paul and Silas in a dungeon. I'm going to tell you this, and we've talked about it several times before. The Bible says that one person can be easily defeated. Ecclesiastes. That one person can fall, and if they don't have somebody, there's no help. But if someone is with you, it says two can go back to back and conquer. Three is even better because a triple braided cord cannot easily be broken. Write this down, never forget it. I will never be, and I say I because you're going to make it personal too. I will never be effective in ministry if I try to minister on my own. I will never be able to finish the course. Why? Because sometimes it's hard. Remember I told y'all what I heard from Johnson University's graduation where the guy said, remember my message. You'll never remember my name, but remember my message. Safety last. Safety last. Because the most unsafe to be place to be is in the middle of God's will. We've preached, he said several times before, that the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will. And he said, if you read every story in the Bible, you'll find that none of them were ever in safety. Every one of them were in circumstances that were dire. Even Jesus nailed to a cross. Noah building a boat, then getting in the boat, tossed 40 days and nights in a storm like the world has never seen. Abraham traveling into places that nobody had ever been and having no guide, no idea where he's going, even going up on a mountain to sacrifice his own son. There is no one in here that can read the Bible and say that the will of God is safe, because the will of God is risky. He's going to ask you to step out and he's going to ask you to do things. And I'm going to tell you this, if you try to do it by yourself, it's too heavy for you. It's a whole lot easier to pray and to sing when you got somebody to pray and sing with. Would you agree? How many of you are the natural, I don't know how you want to call it, you're a concert performist in your shower or in your car? Anybody like that? All right. How many of you just don't sing? That's just not your thing. Anybody like that? All right. All right. How many of you, let's just be honest, when you get alone, you'll belt it? Okay. Can I ask you this? How many of you, when you're belting it, it actually feels like worship? Now, don't answer that. Or how many of you, when you're belting it, it's normally because you're wanting to see if you can break the dance move? You're wanting to see if you can hit the note? All right? I don't know about you, but I'm the bravest in the shower because nobody else is there. But I'm going to be honest, it's easier for me to worship when I'm in the presence of another worshiper. It's easier for me to be committed when I'm around someone that's committed. It's easier for me to stand and preach the Word of God when I'm around people that want to hear it. It's hard to stand alone in those areas. Anybody else say, I agree with that? All right. That's why church is important. And that's why you need that. But I'm talking about in your life, who is your go-to? Who is that person that if you're going to a dungeon for serving God, you can guarantee they're going to, because they're going to be serving God with you. And if you don't have that person, then I'm going to ask you tonight to look around this room. And I'm going to ask you to start reaching out and finding that person. Not the person you're sponsoring. You need that. Not the person you're mentoring. You need to be doing that too. Not the person you're discipling. You need to be doing that. I'm not discrediting that. But the person you're serving with. This person that you know, they've got your back and you've got theirs and you're going for the same thing. The person that you can tell anything to and know that they'll never use it against you. Because I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, we're about to see the power of prayer and worship. We're about to see the truth of God where he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm going to show up. I'll be in the midst. Because here they are at a point in life when they should be throwing up their hands and quitting. And instead, they're throwing up their prayers. They're throwing up their songs. They know people are listening. And then look at the very next verse, what happens? It says, verse 26, suddenly. That's how I like God. God's immediate. All right? God makes an entrance, makes a statement. Sometimes that statement's conviction. Sometimes it's power. Sometimes it's miracle. But God always makes an entrance. It says, suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. Have you noticed that when God gets happy, the earth shakes? Have you noticed that when God grieves, the earth shakes? Have you noticed that when Jesus Christ returns, the earth is going to shake again? All right, can I tell you this? When true men and women of God rise up and are totally committed to God and totally committed to worship, it rocks the world of those around them. It rocks the world. You want to make an impact, find somebody to minister and serve with, and then just do it. Let it be heard. Let it be seen. Guaranteed, it'll rock the lives of those around you. All right? Why? Because God's going to show up. It says the prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Now, can we not pause here and see why worship's so important in our churches? Can we not pause here and see why it's so essential that we let His praise be heard? Can we not see why it's so needed for us to stand together, especially through adversity? Why? Because not only will it open our doors that hold us back, but it took off every chain holding back every criminal that was in that place. They're in there, they're not criminals. But everybody around them is. And their praise and worship was enough to set everyone around them free. Can I tell you this? I said this in Illinois. I'll say it here. Every day of my life, I've taken on this new mentality to find one person that is willing to serve God and to go with that person. One person, not 100, that's willing to go out there and reach the world and do whatever it takes and to let that person be the person we go with. Instead of trying to build a church, let's build a relationship. And instead of trying to build a name, let's build a bond. And instead of trying to become something amazing, let's rely on the one who is amazing. And let's just go together and let's realize that as we praise Him, as we seek Him, that people around us, their lives will change as a result. Now, if you go on in the story, and we're not going to get into those details, you see where the guard gets scared because now every person in there is free, draws his own sword, wants to kill himself. And Paul and Silas say, do not harm yourself. We're all still here. Can I say this? And I want you to understand it. A lot of times when we come into ministry and we come into pastoring or leading small groups or youth ministry or whatever your ministry is that God's calling you to, we isolate ourselves feeling like God wants us to do it. And we fail to realize that God has put people around us that He wants us to do it with. And as a result, we find ourselves like I said I was, very overwhelmed, anxious, and burdened, and tired, and worn out. Can I say this? I'm gonna do better at this. I'm making you a promise. I'm going to ask you to make me the same. To stop trying to carry the weight of the world. Stop trying to carry the weight of the church and start relying on the relationships that we have, the foundation that we've set on our faith in God. And from there, just do what God has called us to do, no matter where He places us, whether we're having good days at Grace Community Church or whether it's a bad day at Grace Community Church, whether our auditorium is full or whether we come in and it's very empty. We're going to pray, praise, worship, and preach the Word of God. And by doing that together, guaranteed anybody that's around us that's still bound by something will find freedom as they hear and see what God is doing in our lives. So my promise to you is this. I'm no longer going to pastor this church alone. Now, good news is for a year now it's been transitioning. We have some amazing pastors. Can I tell you a highlight of my day? The fact that I never even asked Bill Hart to show up at the baptism, and yet he was at that front door of that church as if that was the church he went to, greeting people as they came in. Dennis standing in that baptistry with me. That really made my day. Why? Here are men of God. Now, many of you were there. I'm not discrediting that. Here are men and ladies of God. Sandy showing up with that camera. All right? Madison standing back there taking pictures that made Facebook that I didn't think were going to make Facebook. All right? I tried on a pair of waders that were back there before I got in. I thought that was a me, Eric, and Dennis moment, but apparently that's now the entire world moment. All right? But the thing is, man, I look at that and it's encouraging to me. It's exciting to me to see people that are just willing to go. We have amazing, we've been delegating, but I'm going to say this. I think there's more that we can do together than we're doing today. Would you agree with me? Now, I'm not saying I want you to give more time. Some of you give so much time as it is. I'm just asking you to purpose that time. And I'm not asking you to take on more than you've taken on, but I'm asking you to do this. Don't take it on by yourself. Find somebody you can serve with. Like Amy and Christy. They work that welcome booth together, even though they're never at the welcome booth together. You know, you got this service, I got the next. Like those of you that served in the nursery, like Eric and Jennifer, during the second service, but worshiped in the first, so that somebody else can get back out into worship. You know, I look at that and I'm saying, hey, look, we're at a point in Grace Community Church where we're starting to see explosion in growth. Have y'all realized that? Can I just talk freely? All right? Can I encourage, are you recording tonight? I'm just going to encourage those that listen tonight to find somebody to minister with. And before I go any further, so that it's not misinterpreted as bragging, I'm going to ask you to stop the recording.